Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Fuck you, Daddy.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
Where the bad folks go when they die? They don't go to heaven where the angels fly.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I'm your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live from deep inside the powerless man cave tonight. Don't know what happened, so we're running on battery power, hoping we make it through this. It's always something, Scott. You know, we finally start early. Things are running well. The baby's in bed. We're like, let's get going early tonight, and then I have to spend 10 minutes trying to figure out this power, and I still couldn't get it fixed. So well, let's bring in Scott Criscola. How you doing?
Would you like to borrow the official Steve Piscatello beige button-down shirt?
We have to get, like, a fucking generator for out here or something for these nights.
Get some. regardless, JR, it is always a pleasure to be with you. Welcome, everyone, to episode 149 of the Place to Be podcast. And why don't we just dive right in? Let's get the door open. I got something to say to our guy. Let's get the door open. Let's see. Go.
Our guy who? Derek LaRue? Matt Rotella?
No, the getting the vault open. You know.
Hey! What is going on here?
Oh, that guy.
I'll tell you what's going on here. I watched an episode of this past season of Mad Men, and Jesus, you're fatter than Pat Patterson. My God, what happened
to
you?
Come on.
He weighs like 400 pounds now.
Yeah, lay off.
Then again, on Mad Men, he was working for Cool Whip, so maybe that was the whole point.
That's it.
So I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. Tonight on the Place to Be podcast, we are going to delve into the volunteer state.
And of course, before you throw, we must say, if you haven't listened yet, please go back to last night's episode where we talked about the Thursday Raw Thursday, the build into this show.
Yes, yes. And because of that, and what went on that night in Lowell, Mass., takes us to tonight. And major shakeups, major things going on. However, it is not 30 like the Royal Rumble, but it is just 4.
Sorry, I'm trying to get this thing working here that Wilkie sent. Hang on. For some reason, of course, the great YouTube people that make these things have to play their fucking signature for 45 seconds at the beginning of the clip.
Oh, of course, yeah. Sexy Chicken Mama 58 or whatever.
I think Wilkie gave me this information. I just did not prepare. Okay, hang on. I'm all thrown off by this electricity thing. All right, here we go. Final 4!
What does it mean to be the World Wrestling Federation champion? For Shawn Michaels, the most flamboyant, courageous, athletic champion ever, it undoubtedly meant the world. Tonight, 4 men, 4 superstar athletes consumed by the quest to become champion will battle in one dangerous no-holds-barred match. 4 men with bitter scores to settle. 4 men who in times of desperation were not quite the role models we once adored. And most importantly, because of a cruel twist of destiny, they are 4 men fighting for the title. Willing to go to any extreme to claim victory. Willing to sacrifice it all to become champion.
So, of course, there you have it, the intro setting up the main event for tonight, which will be the four men that, well, three of the men that were screwed in the Royal Rumble and the one that claimed to have won but didn't quite win it. And that is, of course, fighting over the now vacated World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship. And we talked about that last night on our Thursday Raw Thursday review. So, Scott,
yes, we did.
That sets the stage. And we'll get to, of course, all the antics that led up to that main event shortly. But why don't you set us up here?
Yes, of course. Tonight on the Place to Be podcast, inside the Vintage Vault and Hefty Belding in there watching things, it is, in your house, Final Four. Let's jump right in.
Okay.
February 16th, 1997. Live from the UTC Arena in Chattanooga, Tennessee, our first foray, JR, to the Volunteer State.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a little history of the UTC Arena? Of course, this is obviously a campus, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga.
Yes.
Actually, they're just called Chattanooga now that the UT is gone.
That's stupid.
But a little history of the building, JR, if you have it.
Yep. It was broke ground in 1980, opened in 1982. It's now known as the McKenzie Arena.
Oh, okay.
It's a primary basketball arena for, of course, the Chattanooga. Whatever the hell they are. Chattanooga.
Moccasins?
Yes, Chattanooga Mox and the Lady Mox. The only ones that play there. So, okay. 10,928-seat arena opened October 8th, 1982. The first season included a visit by the then defending national NCAA champion North Carolina Tar Heels, including Michael Jordan, Brad Daugherty, and Sam Perkins.
And hosted... James Worthy.
Yes.
That was the team that beat Patrick Ewing's freshman Georgetown team. That was the game that made me a basketball fan, that game, 1982.
All right, Scott. Let me ask you this. This has hosted one WCW pay-per-view. And one clash.
The pay-per-view is Super Brawl 7. No, that's wrong. Because I said that last night. That was in San Francisco. The clash was like in the early 90s.
It was Clash 4.
So it was, okay, so it was like 80...
89?
80, 80 early, Clash 6 was the Steamboat Flair 2 out of 3, and that was...
Okay, so 88 then.
So it's like late 88.
I think it was the December one, 88.
Yeah, yep. The pay-per-view, I'm going to say Beach Blast 93.
No, it was Halloween Havoc 91, the infamous Chamber of Horrors.
Oh, the Chamber of Horrors. I knew it was somewhere in that era with crap matches. although...
I believe this is your prom song, correct? The Glenn Miller Orchestra?
They were actually there.
They played it,
so,
huh?
Yeah. Everyone be jealous, okay?
Yes.
So Chattanooga did not... this was not a sellout. 6,399. So about a little over half. Not too bad, though. The buy rate, 0.5. And your announcers, the streak is broken for your boy. And his dapper navy blue jacket.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time since your favorite commentary pay-per-view of all time, which we play, clips we play often here on the Place to Be podcast, the 1994 King of the Ring.
Wow, what a run.
Yep. No Vincent Kennedy McMahon at the table tonight. So for the first time alone, for what will be numerous... That was the night. For the first time of what will be many, many times over the next... I don't know why you're not there. Fucking yell at me. Why aren't you there? Can't use the
weird. I don't understand. Yeah, it's kind of odd that he just wasn't there. Very,
very, very strange. I don't know what the backstory is on that. Usually we get a backstory on every time he doesn't show up to something. But yeah. So for the first time in just under 3 years, Vince McMahon not at the commentary table. It is the team of Jim Ross, good old JR, and the King Jerry Lawler. As I mentioned to you, JR, the first of what will be many, 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 many pay-per-views together. 25 straight pay-per-views for VKM.
Wow.
Snapped. He'll be back.
Good run. Yeah, but not from many more. We get him for another six or seven here, and then he's done.
Yeah, then he's done.
Yeah. So we have a dark match on this night. The Godwins defeated the Headbangers. We talked about the Headbangers last night on Thursday Raw Thursday. They had debuted in late 96 with kind of a heavy metal mosh pit kilt wearing, Levi wearing freak. freaks, with yes, piercings and paintings and other things. So yes, that is the a new team on the block, and they lose to the Godwins.
Yes, and of course we saw them on Thursday Raw Thursday. Mm-hmm. And of course you could obviously find out more about that show at episode 148.
We promise we won't pimp it all night. That's the last time.
I know. We're not. It's like us. It's like this Tuesday in Texas. All right, let's get to the opener. Mm-hmm. Good match here. Marvelous. Well, not marvelous, but
yes,
Wild Man Mark Morrow taking on. I still can't believe they were using this name.
Oh,
God,
get over it. Who cares? God.
Leaf Cassidy.
Yes, Leaf Cassidy,
aka, of course, the future Al Snow.
And this had a little bit of a twist to it because Morrow had been showing some heelish tendencies lately. Sable had been catching the affection of a young man named Rocky Maivia, and Morrow was starting to show a little jealousy. Mm-hmm. And on Shotgun Saturday Night, they had a little showdown, and he was not very happy with the outcome of that. So Morrow started to act a little bit more aggressive in the ring, a little more angry, and it looked like a heel turn was definitely forthcoming. And it would be revealed later on. I think Mick Foley says it in his book that Morrow was set to turn heel. Or I don't know if that's another just internet legend. It's out there. And it definitely seemed to have some credence because he was definitely acting more of a heel than a face.
Yeah, and but unfortunately, he would not be able to expound on it for quite a while. But
I guess
we
should mention that here then, right?
Yes, we must mention. Well, let's just talk about the match first.
Okay.
I didn't like it. I didn't think it was very good. There's a lot of punches, kicks. There wasn't really much flow to it. I was expecting more from two guys who were good workers, and it was very dull, kind of bland. I wasn't a big fan of it. He does hit his finisher well.
Yeah.
To win the match, but other than that, I thought it was just kind of bland. And
I definitely expected more too, especially after Leaf Cassidy's run. You know, we saw with Flash Funk in your house. It's time, and they had a good showdown there, and he definitely seemed like this would be a pretty fair and even matchup between these two, considering their styles and build. But yeah, it's just kind of, this don't really get going, and I don't know if Morrow was trying to work a little bit more heelish and it kind of threw him off, or if he really was just being hampered by the injury that we're talking about in a moment. So a weird matchup, but Morrow definitely gets a pretty decisive win here. And he was becoming more jealous, more protective of Sable, and it seemed like, you know, they had kind of, with the Helmsley feud done, they were kind of ran out of, you know, heels for him to feud with for a while. So it seemed, yeah, it made sense to turn him heel and let him face, yes, some new guys.
However, as we just mentioned, JR, he doesn't last much longer. Why don't you let everyone know what happened to the Wild Man?
Mark Morrow. Yes, it was shortly after the show that he was forced to the sidelines with a very severe knee injury, tore it all up. I can't remember if it was in this match or if he had it heading into this match. Trying to see if I can grab that info right here. It just says in February 1970, tore his ACL and spent 6 months rehabilitating. So I'm not sure if it happened here or not, but he was forced to the sidelines and he wouldn't return until October. So he's gone for a while.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was losing a little steam as a face, but I think the heel turn could have worked. Although, you know what, it's hard to complain because when he does come back, the heel gimmick is very good. So maybe he needed that time away to refresh, yes, a little bit.
Yeah. So he gets the win. His last win for a while, but he does go on the sidelines.
Actually, he wrestles the next night on Raw, and that's his last match. Last televised match.
So you think he wrestled this match hurt? You think that's why it's probably not up to snuff?
It's possible. I'm trying to look quickly on Graham's site here because I want to find out if he was on any house shows after this. But go ahead, and you can expound a little bit while I look.
Okay. So, yeah, I just was not a big fan of it. I was expecting more out of these guys. And, again, as JR is looking up, maybe it's because of the injury that Morrow, we're getting to the point now where we think that's his actual name. Romero just didn't.
Yeah, that was his last match. It's against Savio Vega the night after this on Raw. So he either hurts it here, the next night on Raw, or he had already hurt it heading into this match. Either way, it seemed to be within this little stretch here. So
yes. All right. So Mark Morrow wins the match over Leif Cassidy, but unfortunately, gets injured, mm-hmm, and is on the sideline for pretty much the rest of the year.
Yeah, comes back in mid-October.
Yes. All right, our next match begins the first of many multi-person matches involving the guys in this match, most of the guys in this match. We have a six-man tag.
Mm-hmm.
Your heels.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, I know. Your heels are Crush, Savio Vega, and Baruch.
No, please, God, no, please.
That is, of course, the Nation of Domination. Please. Taking on the team of...
Please, no. I got to try to find that clip for the trivia contest for round two, if I can.
Taking on the team of Bart Gunn, who pretty much is floating around doing nothing.
Yeah,
Flash definitely. Funk, who I just watched in the event center, in one of his other incantations. And
to do worse than Josh Richter.
Well, Flash Funk never did worse than Josh.
I'll tell you what's worse than Josh Richter, when you make up words and try and quickly move by them, thinking no one notices. Incantations.
Incantations, meaning like, you know, another form, another identity.
It's another identity.
It's like you last week saying non sequitur. It was, you know, he threw it out there and it was right.
Yeah, that's a real word.
So it was incantations.
Get out of here.
What? And of course...
All right, do you know what it is? It is a real word. Do you want me to give you the definition?
Yes.
It's also known as an enchantment. It's a charm or spell, so... There you go, Hermione. Keep throwing it out there for us, and we'll...
One of Flash Funk's non-sequitur incantations are...
Yes, another one of Flash Funk's under an enchantment as Tuchel's Scorpio.
Under enchantment. Anyhow.
It may take place during a ritual, either a hymn or a prayer. It may invoke or praise a deity.
Oh, God. I think they'll put that under the hard for the trivia. What is a non-sequitur incantation?
I do hard incantations every night with my boyfriend.
Oh, not you. Already? Sorry. No, we are in Tennessee.
You brought me out with your spells.
And our final participant on the face side is... That was, of course, Miss Roberts eating the last taco at the Golden Corral.
Oh, they have everything in Golden Corral, huh?
And they do. Tacos, pot roast. Trust me, I watch enough commercials during the day at work. I know what's on.
I cannot stop laughing every time I see the commercial now. It just cracks me up.
For the hot bar. Now they're doing, it's like the tropical time now, so they have like the Calypso chicken and the...
I don't think there's even one around here.
Incantation pork chops. God only knows what else. The closest one to me, and probably to you, is Springfield. There's actually one near the Basketball Hall of Fame. Hmm. Somebody told me. So there's none in Connecticut, and I don't think there's any in Rhode Island either. All right, so... We have a six-man tag, Crush, Savio Vega, and Farouk taking on Bart Gunn, Flash Funk, with his third tout non-sequitur incantation, and Goldust. Interesting matchup here. What do you think the mindset behind the face team put together was? Just three dudes, put them on?
Yeah, I think so. And honestly, this is such a weird show because, as we'll get to in a minute, there were actually quite a few changes on it. And I think this was one that was thrown together at the last minute. They just put these three guys. I think it was just to put three faces together to showcase the Nation now with Savio in tow as well. So I don't think there's much more to it, honestly, than that.
Probably. And the match itself is not bad.
Yeah, right.
You weren't a big fan of it. You actually graded it slightly lower than I did. By the way, of course, as always, I only got to the second match.
I know, right? We almost, we're getting better. We're getting closer.
Yes. Follow along with us. Bigelow34.proboards.com and follow along with our comments. I mean, again, not much backstory, just, you know, again, Bart Gunn had lost back-to-back matches on Raw to Crush and Farouk, so maybe he wanted a little payback. But, I mean, this it's not a well-wrestled match. It's not unwatchable. I just realized I actually typed the word that I wanted to say, incarnation.
Forget it.
That's the word I was thinking of. Incarnate.
That's such a hard word to think of. I can't believe you forgot incarnation.
Incarnation. For some reason, incantation came in my head.
Maybe you were put under an incantation.
By Shaniqua Roberts there, or whatever her name is.
By the Golden Corral.
By the Golden Corral. Maybe she'll read another. That's my uncomfortable laugh because I couldn't hear this. Is that a commercial? What was that?
It was a good food.
Good mood food, yes. The new commercials are the tropical food, you know, like incantation pork chops and non-sequitur chicken and God knows what else they're cooking. So, Farouk, obviously the Nation is red hot right now. Don't you think so? That one's better. That was a lot more harmony in that one. The Nation right now, scorching hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
Even as big as all the guys are, and
but as we talked about last night, not great in the ring. Still, you know, we mentioned this on that show where Farouk wasn't really, you know, like he had as good as he had been when he was Ron Simmons, kind of overweight and lumbering a little bit. Crush was never any great shakes of the ring, and Savio as a heel was just a tough watch. So,
yeah,
you know, they're good on the mic and they have a good attitude and a good look, but the idea is great, the gimmick's great, but their offense is just not really that great. And you know, you could tell they only give this match during a time where they're giving a lot of matches a lot of time. This one only gets 6.5 minutes, and it's, you know, a 6-man tag. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, not much going on here. I think it was just kind of to give the guys some stuff to do, and it's not horrendous again, but it's not obviously work rate wise. You're dealing with a bunch of brawlers and 6-man tags involving brawlers. We've only just begun, in the immortal words of one of my exes, Ric Flair, when it comes to 6-man tags involving the Nation.
Yes,
it's not. This won't be the last time we see them.
No,
but the Nation stays hot, mm-hmm. gets their win.
Yeah, they're headed for a big showdown. The feud with Ahmed Johnson and Farouk is still ongoing. That has not died down yet. So
no, and Farouk
they're on
wins.
A collision course for WrestleMania.
Yes, Farouk wins with a little heel chicanery. Crush hits a big leg drop on Bart Gunn, the guy who probably could.
Good friends with Mike Enos and Andy Flanagan.
That's right, and you know, he can get pinned, and no one would really care. So that's pretty much what happened. So there you go. The Nation of Domination wins the 6-man tag. Really, there's not much more to say. It's just pretty much a nondescript match. So, all right. Next up, we have our first title match. I will never find another lover sweeter than you. And I will never find another lover more precious than you. And not quite happy.
No, not at all.
My betrothed, not happy. Of course, talking about Hunter Hearst Helmsley, no longer World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental Champion. For on Thursday, Raw Thursday, he lost in an upset to the upstart, Rocky Maivia.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go, JR. Here, if you check our column, our review on our message board, we have the official explanation of the whole thing.
Yes.
According to a few sources, my betrothed was never supposed to lose the title that Thursday before this show, but as usual, his buddy there, Mr. Michaels, inadvertently made him collateral damage again. Of course, at the Thursday shows, we all know Shawn was actually supposed to lose the world title to Psycho Sid, which I'm not going to have you
Psycho
say.
Psycho Sid?
Well, I was going to, because he's not there, so it's almost like, but that's okay. Still sounds good. And anyway, Sid was supposed to win that night, but of course, as you heard in episode 148, his smile is being looked at right now by Hacksaw Jim Duggan somewhere.
Time to play the game!
On the Mass Turnpike, and unfortunately he had to play the game that he didn't want to play. And so to not piss off the Lowell fans, Helmsley had to lay down for the upstart Rocky Maivia. And right now they have their pay-per-view rematch as Rocky Maivia defends the World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental title against Hunter Hearst Helmsley. The first of what would end up being many matches on pay-per-view together. You know, we talk about Rock taking on another guy that's growing in the company later on and end up becoming an iconic rivalry. But this one, JR, actually not too bad in its own right. You know, these guys battle for the next almost 3 years.
Yeah, yep.
And this is their first pay-per-view encounter.
Not as good as the match they had a few nights before, but still solid. That one on Raw was very
good. This one kind of went back and forth more. The match on Raw, Helmsley fairly dominated the action.
Hey, Hacksaw, have you seen Sapphire Baby?
No, I haven't, Dust, but we're all still looking for her.
Yeah, she stole Michael's smile, so just playing traffic, and maybe she dropped it. Yeah, the match on Thursday, Raw Thursday, Helmsley dominated the action.
Yes, yep.
Maivia got a punch or two in, and then a cheap small package playing possum, the Bret Hart playbook, and won the Intercontinental Championship. So this match is not bad. We both graded it, you know, about in the middle.
Yeah.
Helmsley definitely is really getting things cooking in terms of his work rate. Definitely learning how to dictate pace now, and really starting to get matches down in terms of dominating tempo and things like that. Were you and your boys? No, were you? Was this you and Gazzo watching this?
No, I think I watched this one over Jim's house because it would have been, I think, February vacation. So I went over there.
Ah, I see.
And stayed over and watched it.
Ah, I see. Good. I did not watch this one live. I have a great story about next week's show, though. Pretty funny. But
sit with
no.
breathless anticipation.
Yes, another great story. No broken bones or well, there is a fight, but no broken bones. But anyway, this one I watched on tape. Yeah, this match definitely a little more, you know, leveled out. But what I was asking you was, what were your thoughts on Rocky Maivia at this point? What was you guys, the West Warwick Mafia? What were your thoughts on him? Or did you all turn on him too? Or
nah, I think we were kind of
care.
Yeah, I was kind of ambivalent to him, to be honest with you. I was just kind of like, whatever, just this guy. And you know, I thought he had potential. I thought he had a good look, but I didn't really care for the gimmick. And I don't know, he just wasn't really much on my radar, I don't think. I wasn't crazy about him, but I didn't hate him or anything.
Now, you were a big Helmsley fan early on. Were you still in his bandwagon?
I wouldn't say I was a huge Helmsley fan. I mean, I liked him.
He's part of your J-faves, the early...
I don't recall this, but he's okay. He's all right.
Well, on the infamous J-fave list that you had on our message board, you put your favorite gimmicks, and I remember you putting Hunter Hearst Helmsley 95 through 96.
I don't recall that.
Of course, now the list is gone. Just like Woodward and Bernstein. Anyway.
Maybe there's a secret camera built into the webpage that recorded it all.
And it's incantating your non-sequitur list.
I think you should go on tout and do some incantations and submit them to WWE.
All right. Where's the button that the camera pops on? What the fuck? I thought I had one of these. Hey, I'll go tweet. I could do that now.
Yes. Took it some time, but you got there.
Yeah, you know what? Jim and I both went to the school of Hard Knocks Electronics.
You had a big month. You got HDTV finally. You discovered the world of Blu-ray, and now you're learning how to tweet. So it's a lot going on in your life.
And I broke a bone for the first time. So there you go. Everything's great. And I'm learning words like incantination, nations. The incantination of domination.
Yes.
All right, so Helmsley and Maivia, not a bad match, not great. And Maivia with a German suplex.
Mm.
What is it? You had mentioned this a couple of pay-per-views ago. He's the one thing about him that I think people probably were getting. He didn't really have like a move set. He just kind of did things.
Yeah. Well, he always worked in the high cross body. That was one of his moves. Mm-hmm. And he did the shoulder breaker a lot. That was his other big move. But yeah, he doesn't really have like a set finisher. So.
Yeah. But he hits a German suplex, and gets the win over Helmsley and retains the World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental Championship. Again, not a bad match, kind of nondescript, nothing really, you know, to write home about, but not offensive. I think if you watch this match and the Thursday Raw Thursday match, you'll like the Raw match a little bit better.
And they were both historic, though, because on Thursday, Rocky Maivia wins the IC title from Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Mm-hmm.
On this show, after the match, Marlene is in the ring.
Yes.
Because her and Goldust came out to distract Helmsley, gets in the ring, and this giant Amazon woman gets in the ring and just starts swinging Marlene around, choking her out, and whipping her around, and nobody knew who this was. And it was this ghastly, beastly woman. Someone straight out of the LaRue Black Book comes into the ring.
Yes.
And starts helping Helmsley, and they walk off together. And Jim Ross is just like, you know, who is this Amazon? Who's this woman that's just humongous and rippling muscles and everything else? So we would find out more about her the next night of Raw. So we'll talk about her more next week at WrestleMania. But
yes,
she makes her inauspicious debut here.
Yes, and she and I'll tell you, give Marlena credit for selling it. She could have died. She was snapping around pretty good, but in any event, Maivia. Retained.
Not your via. My via. You know what? Let's talk about her now, because we're going to have a lot to talk about next week at WrestleMania 13.
So you want
to
just talk about
the time
her
now? Yeah.
Okay. Her name, her real name, is Joni Lohrer. And she was a bodybuilder. Worked out. She's from the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
And she was...
born in Rochester.
She was working out, right? She was working out at the same gym. Right. Mm-hmm. Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and he took a liking to her, and they eventually started dating.
Yep.
And
very similar looking.
Yes, and she was introduced to Shawn Michaels by Helmsley at a restaurant. You ready for this? In Hartford, Connecticut. That was in her book.
So now, according to this, though, she actually got into wrestling before she met Helmsley. She trained at Killer Kowalski School, of course, where Helmsley was. First match was in 1995 against a male dressed as a woman, also worked as various independents. Laura then met Triple H, Paul Levesque, Hunter S. Helmsley, and Shawn Michaels at the Pro Wrestling Show in 1996. After watching tapes of her matches, they brought her into the WWF as a bodyguard. Vince McMahon was against it, didn't think the audience would buy into her assaulting men. So she was approached by WCW at the same time, and they wanted her to actually be the sole female member of the NWO. She accepted the offer, but then turned it down when Shane McMahon called her and told her that his dad, Vince, wanted to bring her in. And Kowalski, however, he maintains that he got her hired after he introduced her to Shane McMahon. So I don't know. I'm sure that whole thing about WCW probably is from like China's book or something. So who knows the truth? But
yeah, I do. Actually, I have her book over here. It's not a.
Why don't you read it quickly for us while we finish this review, and then we can talk.
Yeah,
about it.
It's about. Well, it's about. I'll read all the stuff that's probably true. It's probably about 8 pages worth. But according to the book, they met in Hartford. So yes.
So she was a plant ringside here, chokes out Marlena. And then she would debut, of course, they'd reveal what her name is, China now, C-H-Y-N-A, and she'd be Hunter Hearst Helmsley's bodyguard, replacing the departed Mr. Hughes, who had replaced the departed Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect.
Yes. So there you go. There is China, and we will get to know more about her throughout 1997. Yes, throughout, and then obviously over the next 4 or 5 years.
Plenty more.
Plenty more. But her guy does not get his Intercontinental title back. Rocky Maivia, not your Via, not his Via, but
my Via
keeps it. Next up, JR, is actually a very highly anticipated match. It had been in kind of in the works for the fans since the Survivor Series, and now we finally get it. For the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Championships, your champs, the grumbling and grunting British Bulldog and Owen Hart, continuing to snipe at each other.
We're bizarre!
Yes, taking on the Red Hot Team, who's never on TV, of Doug Furness and Phil LaFon.
They were on TV. They were on Raw.
Were they? Why were they not on the Raw show, on the Thursday Raw Thursday? You figured they'd get like a little nice
You'd
TV
think so, and the other weird thing is that they weren't in the Rumble, which was really odd.
Yeah, that was kind of odd, too. Yeah. Very strange. But they finally get the tag title match they've been eagerly anticipating.
Hey, BTB Nation, it is now time for the Rob Houston Memorial Hacksaw Jim Duggan update!
I got my 2x3.
Dibbity doodah! Derek LaRouche here with the Jim Duggan WCW update. Let me put this bloody tampon away and I'll get right to it. On February 6th at Orlando, Florida, Universal Studios, Jim Duggan defeated Rex King, more like Rex Queen in my world. Then, later that show on that worldwide taping, defeated Max. Who's Max? Does he work at TJ Maxx? I don't know. That's where I shop. I get my Triple X t-shirts. February 24th, Sacramento, California, at the Arco Arena, more like B-Co, right, C-Co? Monday Nitro defeated Galaxy. That's a stupid name. Derek LaRue going back to bang my girlfriend to 50 Shades of Grey.
Closer to the curtain, I got the American flag over my shoulder.
Can't believe you remember the tampon.
Hey, what do you mean? He lives it. That's his life, buddy. He's not remembering anything.
that's true.
It's a real life, pal.
Yeah, that's right. It's real to me! To my Via. Furness and LaFon finally get there. World Tag Team title shot against the British Bulldog and the Rocket. The King of Hearts.
The Owen Rocket Hart. King.
The Rocket Girl King.
Matsun used to call him.
Yes. Not the Rocket Queen. The Rocket King. She packed my bags last night. Never mind.
Furness and LaFon. Yes. I was
great match here.
Now, these were a couple of JFAs. I thought they were great in the ring. Didn't have too much of a gimmick going on, but that was cool at this time. It was there to kick some ass, you know. And they had a great, great in-ring chemistry and these four guys just really worked well together. So I was digging this match. Unfortunately, I didn't like the... Yeah, I thought the finish was stupid, and I thought they should have gotten more time. They get 10.5 minutes, and Furness and LaFon win when Owen uses the slammy and gets the team disqualified. So, you know, I thought for sure at the time Furness and LaFon were going to win the titles here. I thought it was a way to get the titles off Bulldog and Owen so they could facilitate the split, because it definitely seemed like it was going that way. So I remember being pretty shocked that they kept the titles here.
Yes. Great match, though. Back and forth. A great
Here's my slammy.
Yes, great psychology. But the match ends in a disqualification. Bulldog's about to pin LaFon clean to successfully retain the title, but Owen comes in to hit LaFon as...
Mr. LaFon.
As he hits him with, as you mentioned, his slammy, and got the team DQ'd.
And LaFon and Furnace actually had also defeated Owen and Bulldog on that special Skydome Raw.
Yes.
On February 3rd by countout, they had defeated them. Mm-hmm. So.
Isn't that crazy for this time? Mm-hmm. They had, like, shows in domes and, I mean...
And these two actually, they had quite the feud going. Owen and Bulldog defeated Furnace and LaFon clean in a non-title match on the 120 Raw, Beaumont, Texas. Mm. Beaumont.
So, great Beaumont. Great feud. Good match. I don't know if it's on any... I don't believe it's on any collections. So this might be one you have to dig up because I think you'll like it. Mm. Good chemistry between both teams. Four good workers.
Yeah. I dug it.
And you were a little disappointed then?
Oh, I was very disappointed. I always wanted a title change no matter what the scenario. But I was pretty disappointed. I liked Furnace and LaFon, and it definitely it seemed like Owen and Bulldog were due for a breakup. So I was kind of surprised when they held the titles here. I thought it seemed like a golden opportunity to put the belts on Furnace and LaFon.
Yes, yeah. And I think it would have jazzed up the rest of the tag division, too. So, yeah, a little
And interestingly here, Graham mentions that Clarence Mason was with Bulldog and Owen. Now, as we saw on Thursday Raw Thursday, he was on opposite sides because they fought the Nation, Farouk and
Yeah, so Clarence Mason,
Crush,
plenty of contracts, apparently. Seems to be all over the place. Hmm. Very interesting. But Furnace and LaFon wrestle a great match. But fall just short. They win by DQ, so we'll look ahead to see if they ever get another title match. But for the time being, the sniping and griping, British Bulldog and the Rocket King, Owen Hart, still World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions.
In for a major shakeup, though.
Yeah. Oh, major shakeup, yes. But for now, still sniping and griping, and still the champs. Now, can you believe this, JR? We're already at the main event.
What?
Yeah, that's how fast-paced and quick this show is.
We're like 10 minutes in.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yes.
And a quickie pay-per-view. Here,
this was the right show for me to have no power in this room, so
precisely,
I can't even charge my laptop.
Yeah, if this was next week, we might have to have a long extension cord to plug into the pole outside or something.
Well, trust me, I thought about running one upstairs into the kitchen or something, but I or out to the garage, which is working, but I figured we could hustle through this show.
Yes.
So
but we are going to take a quick breather
before
our main event. Yeah, could you believe that? First time in a while, because we are, of course... through the first round of the PTB mm-hmm. trivia tournament. So no matchup tonight. So we'll take the break now, give you guys a quick rest, because, boy, we really took a long time on those first four matches. And when we come back, we will give you the main event and your feedback, and then a few announcements and some other fun and games. But before we do that, let's rest. Because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Mr. Fev.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Yes, WrestleChat.net, indeed, your home for everything pro wrestling. All the news and notes you need from WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. They have a great message board. Check out their podcast, The Champ, Jeff Beck, and his announcer. And of course, while you're perusing the site, you look to the right, you see the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it, and you'll go to our full archive, courtesy of our good friends at Podbean. That is WrestleChat.net, indeed where it's at. Also, don't forget the history of WWE.com, our friend Grant Cawthon. Outstanding research site, ring results, DVD reviews, everything you need is there. Also, check out our show on Stitcher.com if you have iPhone, Android, any kind of phone or any kind of player, tablet. Go to it. You can listen to our shows anytime. And then, of course, also on iTunes. And, of course, check out our message board, Bigelow34.proboards.com. We're always talking wrestling, sports, anything you want. Check out JR's and my reviews. We talk Raw, SmackDown, all sorts of stuff. And don't forget to help out our friend Jay Womet. Still dealing with a lot of physical issues with his leg and a touch of skin cancer, but he's a fighter and he's a great fan of the show. And if you want to help him, check the link on our board, bigelow34.proboards.com, and you can help him out. He's a great guy.
Hey, Place to Be Nation, this is Gary Michael Capetta, and this is the Place to Be Podcast with Scott Riscola and Justin Rosero.
All right, Nation, we are back from that break. Hope you enjoyed it, as always, and presented by the one and only Mr. Pfaff.
Mr. Pfaff.
Of course, if you've heard last night's show, Mr. Pfaff, tough loss in the trivia tournament.
Well, that was, JR, that was probably, in terms of competition, the best matchup we had.
Yeah,
in the
first
round. All three guys were Mr. Pfaff, Mr. Zern, Mr. Hall, cranking out answers like nobody's business. And for those that haven't listened to it yet, we won't say who won.
Well,
we will.
We basically did.
Yeah, I guess we basically did.
And we're gonna say it later in the show. So whatever.
So, but it was a good matchup. And we
kind of like this one coming up, main event.
Zibidi-doo! Except there's not three guys in this match, but like the trivia tournament, there is indeed four.
Four guys.
Yes, because
four wrestlers, baby.
That's right. Mongo, you were not one of them.
Oh, come on now.
Come on now. yeah. The World Wrestling Federation. Oh, God. It's moments like these that I wonder getting Jim on would probably be a bad idea.
I think any moment getting Jim on would be a very bad idea.
All right. Let's start at the beginning. Obviously, Stone Cold Steve Austin's win at the Royal Rumble. How exciting it was for fans was not exactly.
You've got to be kidding me!
I'm not kidding. Was not exactly was not exactly the cleanest Rumble victory.
No, not at all. Very messy.
So, yes. So President Gorilla Monsoon decided.
It was so messy. It's like J.R. Senator D'Amato walked over and took a big. Nasty shit on it, just like he did all over his tournament hopes a few weeks ago.
Yes. Not Josh Richter, but...
No, to be as bad as Josh Richter, you must be pretty bad.
Yes.
You know, I saw Mr. Richter last night, and I was telling him about that and how he put them in the open and all this stuff, and he was very offended, by the way. He thought he did pretty well. You know, he got two right. He did better than a lot of guys.
Well, he at the time, he was at the lower echelon. I mean, we
and
probably...
This is a guy who hasn't watched wrestling in, you know, coming up on 15 years since he's watched wrestling legitimately outside of me just telling him about it. So, he hung in there.
He did, but maybe I'll have to at some point do a new a quote that you'll have to tape where I say, to be as bad as Andy Flanagan...
Yes, or to be as old and ugly as J.F. Senator D'Amato.
All right, in any event...
I guess you are, so...
In any event, yes. You're not the one who wants your laptop to fire out. Okay, I'm trying to get to the story here.
True. I got about 3/4 battery left, so we're in good shape.
Okay. So Gorilla Monsoon decided that Steve Austin will get his title shot. But he's going to have to share his number one contenders.
Well, this whole thing happened because of the Raw the night after the Royal Rumble is when all the shit hit the fan. Bret Hart came out, was very angry, directed a promo at Vince McMahon. He said McMahon made all these promises to him since he's returned to the WWF, and all the screw jobs have happened. His match with Psycho Sid, In Your House It's Time, and then the Rumble the previous night. He says he's been screwed by Shawn Michaels, been screwed by Steve Austin, been screwed by the WWF, been screwed by Vince McMahon. And he said if he wasn't getting his title shot that he earned at the Rumble, he quit. Slammed his mic down and walked off, even though Vince tried to stop him. Left to the crowd as the crowd chanted, "We want Bret." Austin then came in and... excuse me, said Bret was a whiner, told him to go back to Canada because the only person he could beat was his old dad. He then said he was supposed to wrestle Sid later in the show, but Gorilla Monsoon said Sid was home with a concussion, and now he had to face The Undertaker instead. Austin then challenged Taker to an immediate fight, during which McMahon left the broadcast table for an unknown reason. Of course, it was so he could go get things straightened out. McMahon later had an in-ring interview with Gorilla Monsoon. Gorilla announced that while involving Taker, Austin did win the Rumble, he would not earn the title shot due to the controversial nature. He said there'd be a four-man, no disqualification bout at the next pay-per-view, which is this one, featuring Undertaker, Austin, Vader, and Hart, if Hart chose to accept the invitation to return. And the winner would face the champion at WrestleMania 13. Austin appeared, reminded Monsoon that Hart had been gone, called the Gorilla a jackass in a great line, said he's done with Hart, Taker, and Vader, he'd finish off Monsoon. And Hart came back to the crowd, accepted the invitation, and they brawled to end the show. So really, really good stuff. A very memorable very memorable episode of Raw, and Bret Hart already, like we said, showing signs and foreshadowing where his career was headed here. But obviously not a very happy man due to all the shenanigans that have gone down since he returned.
Yes, and you know, if you're a Bret Hart fan, from his perspective, you're almost kind of thinking, yeah, why do I feel like the company right now is kind of like discombobulated and disorganized, and well, there's might be one guy you could blame for that.
Well, so it's changed too since Bret left. I mean, he wanted to come back and just go back to the way things were, and things have changed since he left, and now there's a lot more of a mess on top. So he's got to work for it. He's not just going to get handed these title matches. So
yeah, this isn't like 94, 95 where it was
the Wild West now, brother.
That's right. Three guys and a bunch of clowns and, you know, other bad gimmicks. Now you're dealing with legitimate main event guys, and there's, you know, four or five or six at the top. So this match was originally supposed to be a number one contenders match, but then, of course, after the smile that I think Duggan is still looking for on the Mass Turnpike, this match is now for the championship. So this is a now world title match between Bret the Hitman Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Vader, and The Undertaker. Now, the other urban legend, before we get to the match itself, which has a lot of subplots in it.
Yeah. By the way, let's do the rules of the match quickly. Final four match, based playing off the Rumble finish, there were two ways to win this. You could pin a guy or make him submit, or you could throw him over the top rope Rumble style. So that was two ways to win this match. It was elimination, so. Go ahead.
Exactly. So the last man standing in the ring would be the champion. Now, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. The original thought was that Stone Cold, I don't know if this is totally true, but there is rumors he was actually supposed to win this match and win the title. And then lose it the next night.
I think it's been proven wrong. But the story is he was supposed to win, and then he injured his knee during the match, and they had a hot shot and have him get eliminated, and then change the finish on the fly. I think that was a Scott Keith special, to be honest. I don't remember ever seeing that one corroborated. And I'm pretty sure Austin's knee was jacked up before this match, because we saw on Thursday Raw, he had that big knee brace on.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't actually wrestle too much leading in to Mania from here, because I think he was rehabbing the knee. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I don't think he was ever meant to win this match. I actually think
I'm as sick as a dog, and you expect me to smile? You remind me of a jackass.
Now, where are the midgets? Let's go play some basketball.
Let's shoot some fucking hoops.
Get
the midget stairs. Get the midget trampoline. Let them bounce it off the wall through the net. Shwish.
I don't think. I think Bret was expected to win this the whole time.
I use the trampoline every night. Me and my boyfriend Eric LaRue jump up and down on it.
Wow. Must be pretty extra sturdy trampoline.
We alternate saying, fuck you, daddy, as we leap up in the air.
Owner, is it Dennis Stamps? Did you have to wear a pink polo shirt with it?
We don't do tricks.
Yes, you do. I don't know what they are, but I know you do.
Only when I make my boyfriend beg for food, that's when he does tricks.
Oh, God. Does he wear a collar and a... Never mind.
I'm in love with him, and even I find that one gross. Yes, he does.
So I think I think Bret was meant to win this all along, but the match itself is a lot of fun.
Awesome.
I mean, they're just pounding, like they're just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
I think the four of them realized that this pay-per-view was kind of slapped together
it was all built around this one match, really. I mean, the other matches are just kind of there. This is the one that was really the focus of the show, and 25 minutes they're given. The highlight to me, of course, is the Vader, Bloody Vader.
Oh, yeah.
Busted open, red on his eye. His eye looks like it's hanging out of the fucking socket for almost a match. Just covered in blood. The mask comes off and blood everywhere. And to me, this re-legitimized Vader, who looked like kind of a pussy and a chump since SummerSlam. This really, you know, he got the win over Taker, but this really re-energizes him. Like, oh my God, I forgot how nasty and much of a beast this guy could be. And this really put him back in the forefront. And it doesn't last long, but for now, anyway.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Yeah, what happened was Taker hits Vader with a chair, and I think he hit him with the wrong side.
Yeah, the edge.
And I think the hard back.
Yeah.
Whacked him in the eye, and I mean it's just disgusting. The mask comes off, blood just whips everywhere. I mean it's gross, and his eye swells so much it almost looks like the eyeball is just ready to just, if somebody hit him in the back of the head, it would pop right out of there. I think it definitely got Vader back on the badass path after what happened. But I tell you something, the guy that most impressed me was Austin here. I mean, I knew Vince realized this guy was just gaining more and more support. It wasn't a fluke at the end of 96.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is in a big title match, and he's not being ignored. I was just happy that they hadn't given up on him, you know, and that they didn't think the whole thing at the end of 96 was a fluke. You know what I mean? So I was impressed with that.
Yep.
Who are you rooting for to win this?
Austin.
You were watching.
Austin.
You were.
Hands down, yeah. I mean, in retrospect, as we see his journey over the next year, it's for the best that he did not win.
No.
You know, going back to, like I said, a Survivor Series, I was a little tired of Brett. I was actually kind of sad that he won this match. I didn't want Taker to win, I don't think, just yet. And I really think I was just all in on Austin. And when he went over first at 18 minutes, I think Jim and I were both pretty upset about it. So he's the first man eliminated. Brett gets him out. And that sets the stage for WrestleMania. It also kind of plays off the Rumble, getting some revenge there. So we're down to Taker, Vader, Brett for the last 6 minutes. At 22 minutes, Undertaker dumps Vader over the top. Austin comes back out and gets involved as well. And then Brett ends up tossing Taker out at 24 minutes, thanks to kind of an inadvertent assist from Austin. So,
yes.
Bret Hart is your new World Wrestling Federation champion for the fourth time in his career.
Yes.
And this one will be an interesting reign, as we'd see come the next
week. Yes. Yes, absolutely. I don't know if this, to check, I don't know, do you have Graham's site in front of you? I don't know if this match is on anything. This is another one that I think I highly recommend. We both highly recommend you find
yes.
and watch. It's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, great match. I always like this match.
Yeah, if anything, just to see Vader's face, literally, like, when we look ahead, what, 9 years later to that Armageddon 06 match with Mercury and the Ladder, it's up to that disgusting grossness levels. But overall, all four guys just going at it, four good workers, and you know, treating it like a legitimate good world title match. So definitely a match that you should find. But Bret Hart lasts all of them, outlasts them all, and is your new World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion. Where's Sean? Not even on the show.
Nope. Hurt, missing a smile, hurt knee, a lot going on.
I think Duggan just crossed I-95 here, still looking for his smile.
Cross I-95.
Cross I-95, trying to drive by him. So, there you go. There is your – you had any last comment there?
No, I wanted to talk about Raw for a minute, but let's wrap this up first. So this was a good show carried by a main event. Only five matches. The IC title match was fine. The opener was okay. I like the tag title match, and then the main event, of course, was there.
Yeah.
You know, it got 25 minutes. It's pretty much, you know, a third of the show on its own. So
yeah.
I think you should weight the grade on that. We gave it B-minuses, and I think it's a good, fun 2 hours. This is another one of those transition bridge shows. You know, we saw the change start to happen back at Survivor Series and Buried Alive and into its time in the Rumble. And now this is almost like the final stop before the official year of 97 kicks off with all the major changes that are coming. So this is really the last pay-per-view of the new generation era look.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from here on out, it's everything changes look wise. So this is kind of the end. This is like the, it would have been like a, you know, major Saturday Night's main event before WrestleMania 3 or something. You know what I mean? It's like right before the last major change, before everything changes look. So if you want one last look at the Federation era, this is the way to go.
Yep. I said B minus. Actually, not a bad, a better grade than I remember.
Well, the main event was so good, and that was pretty much the whole show. So,
yeah, and the tag is good.
Yeah,
tag
and
good.
A lot of historical, you know, stuff going on here. So, I want to talk about Raw quickly because a lot was changed, and we get some time to talk about it. So, we had the final Raw that was taped in a regular location. That was a couple weeks before this, and the final taped Raw actually aired on. I'm not sure I get the date right. 127. It was taped the week before in Beaumont. The next one was taped as well, but I'm talking like tapings of one night. The next one was recorded on January 31st, aired on February 3rd. That was from Toronto, Ontario, Sky Dome, and that was a kind of a somewhat memorable show, not completely. Then we had the Thursday Raw Thursday, which we reviewed last night. Mm-hmm. The next night on a Raw was the final one to air in just a standard arena with a standard entrance and the look we've been used to since 94. Mm-hmm. That was from Nashville. A week later, half of the WWF stars are overseas in Germany doing a tour and filming an episode of Raw over there. So we had a watered-down WWF crew. So Vince McMahon brought in the stars of ECW to help carry the show. And this was from the Manhattan Center in New York, February 24th. I don't think we're going to have time to review this before WrestleMania, but we will go back someday and do it because, to me, it's one of the best Raw episodes of all time.
Yes,
it
is.
Just a lot of madness, a lot of fun, and it's completely out of left field. A week later, we had the infamous Germany Raw, where Vince McMahon finally snapped because it was, you know, considered just to be a somewhat of a terrible show, and he was really starting to lose faith and lose focus on where things were going. And I believe it's either that show or the one a month later in South Africa. It's one of the two where Vince Russo finally ascended to power, because Vince just had been fed up with the way things were going. Jim Cornette lost some power, and Vince Russo was inserted as one of the head bookers on the creative. He had already joined the creative team, but he was inserted to. I'm trying to see if there's Wikipedia doesn't say it was. It was one of these two Raws. It was either the Germany one or the South Africa one, where Vince finally snapped and said, "Okay, this show sucks." So, following the Germany Raw, which was taped while they were on tour from Berlin, Germany, we had the debut of Raw is War on March 10th from Worcester, Massachusetts. The Titantron debuts, the Pyro debuts. We're into 2 hours now. That actually occurred with the Thursday Raw. Thursday was the first one. I'm sorry, the Toronto was the first two-hour show. From there on out, it was always 2 hours. Mm-hmm. But the Worcester Mass from the Centrum was the first one with the new Raw is War format. Explosions, beautiful people playing us in. We had more legitimate matches, not just a lot of squash matches. The arena was more bright. It was gritty, but also brighter and bigger. Mm-hmm. And it looked more like a pay-per-view quality show than just another, you know, syndicated taped can show, which we had been used to. So this is a look still going today in one way or another. So,
right. Yeah. Well, you know, he had to admit at this point that Nitro just was a better looking show.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Now we're talking about aesthetics. The meat and potatoes, comparable, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. No, Nitro
like
is better
at
this point.
Well, let's put it this way. And I mentioned this on past shows. Chris Jericho says it on the, I don't know if it's on his DVD or on the Rise and Fall of WCW DVD. I think it's his DVD. He says, if you took the mid-card on Nitro and the main event on Raw in 97, you would have an awesome product. And if you took the mid-card on Raw and the main event on Nitro, it would be a colossal piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So it was six of one and half dozen of the other. The mid-card in WWF was still being fleshed out. You still had some dead weight and some stiffs, but I think the problem was you had a lot of ascension of guys quickly into the upper mid card, almost mm-hmm. low main event. So, you know, Vince is still doing that. But the main events, I mean, look at these guys. I mean, you know, you're dealing with, you know, Vader, Taker, Brett, Shawn, Steve. You're dealing with five guys right there that everybody liked in some capacity. Meanwhile, on Nitro, Your mid-card is, and I'm looking at two of those guys right now on the event center, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, the Luchadors, and, you know, the matches, the undercard, and the great tag team wars going on. And then the main events was, you know, pretty much Hogan and a 37-minute promo. So product-wise, it was almost even, but not really. But the edge Nitro had was just every show looked fresh.
Right.
That's what hurt Vince.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to save a buck at the time, which you never thought Vince would need to do. But at the time, he was. So you had one really exciting Raw, and then you had three. I mean, let's be honest, JR. The three taped ones looked like glorified superstars.
Yeah, well, they just felt canned, and you knew nothing major was really going to happen. I mean, they tried their best to make it feel live and fresh by inserting promos and interviews and different other segments, but overall, it was just, it just felt played out. It did. And they needed shaking up. They needed a fresh look and a fresh feel, and they got it here big time. So that was a big time. A lot of stuff was going on during this point in WWF history. So let's get to some feedback, Scott, because we got a decent amount, and then we have some announcements to make, so...
Yes, let me. So, why don't you? I got to get to the feedback page. So, why don't you get us started?
Let's get it started.
Let's get it started. Woo!
All right, Corey Ferreira, Mero and Cassidy start this one out, and it seems like the most random pairing. Mero had just come off that feud with Hunter at the end of '96, and here is wrestling a guy whose gimmick is that he's a '70s teen idol. Anyway, the match is not that good. Six-man tag. Nation is filled with some random ass dudes here. I'll say that match is meh. Just a standard tag match. They pin Brett. Jesus Christ. I think this room is like filling up with carbon monoxide or something. They pin Bart Gunn, but shows they had no faith in this guy becoming a single star. Rocky versus Hunter Helmsley. Rocky's the new IC champ, winning the title 3 days earlier on Raw. Match is okay. There was nothing wrong with it. Crowd starts to turn on young Rocky here. I guess they don't like the white meat baby faces shoved down their throat. Tag title match. He actually put Phineas on the phone, which is making me laugh. Now, this is fucking awesome. The tag division could live again after the shithole year we got for 1996. Two great teams. All four guys are good to great workers. I think this is quite the underrated match in terms of tag matches and company history. Main Event. Following the greatness of the last match, the Main Event delivers in a great way. Much like the tag match, this is very underrated and never gets talked about. It does a good job continuing the Bret Austin feud, with Bret getting the elimination of Austin back from the Rumble. Paul Bearer interferes, also, I guess, to set up more stuff with Taker. In the end, Bret Hart wins his fourth WWF title. Overall, an average show, with the first half being really poor. The event saved by the last two matches. Merrill Cassidy, 1.5. The six-man, 1.5. Rocky Hunter, 1.75. Tag title, 3.25. Main Event, 4.25. Those are, of course, Dave Meltzer's ratings.
Yes. Jay Hinchy. The road to WrestleMania continues in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is a couple hours away from where I live. I did not attend, however. Good show, though, but nothing is set in stone for WrestleMania in Chicago. However, this is also the first pay-per-view Jim Ross and King would call together. Mark Merrill versus Leaf Cassidy. Good opener, and Sable's looking good on this night as well. Cassidy, at this point, was nearing the end of his first WWF run, but he was always good in these in-your-house openers around this time period. Merrill gets the win with the Wild Thing to kick things off. Goldust, Flash Funk, Bart Gunn versus The Nation. Not a bad six-man tag with Bart Gunn, who got a little push after the Rumble and company. The Nation steals the match to continue their winning ways. Rocky Balboa versus Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the rematch for the IC title, is another good one between these future world champions. Also, JR begins calling Rocky the Rock here a little bit in some foreshadowing down the line. Rocky retains thanks to a distraction from Goldust. After the match, we see an unknown woman in the crowd attacking Marlena. Thinks she'll stick around. Well, Owen Bulldog versus... what do you call it? Phineas and LaFon. I thought this was a fantastic bout for the tag titles, and we see more friction from Owen and Bulldog as well. Lots of near falls and false finishes from the challengers, but the champs keep the belts when Owen hits Furnace with a slammy when Bulldog had the match won, getting them DQ'd. Bulldog breaking Owen Hart's slammy after is great and adds to the problems. Final Four main event time for the vacant WWF title with four of the best guys in the company and the Final Four from the Royal Rumble a month earlier. Great match and is really a hidden gem from this period. It goes all over the place. Vader's face a bloody mess. Bret Hart gets revenge on Stone Cold, eliminating him. Bret Hart becomes WWF champion for the fourth time and would defend the next night in Nashville against Sid, with things getting even more chaotic.
Finally did it. Corey Mack. This show's a mixed bag. Some great, some good, and some atrocious. High point. Fantastic main event, which suddenly was the WWF Championship. I've always thought this is a forgotten gem. Great match with four of the all-time greats, with Vader really standing out here. Low point, the six-man tag match. As odd and disjointed as Bart Gunn's team is for regular faction, I've always thought this particular Nation of Domination is the most ragtag group of wrestlers ever put together. Extra point, 3 days into Rocky's title reign, I'm already sick of him. Not a good sign. I just want to go back quickly to, I think it was either Corey or Jay made the point. That, the four-way here is forgotten, and I think this show is forgotten because it's in a weird transition period heading into 13. So I think the whole thing is overlooked, and that match, kind of like the International Incident six-man we always talk about, just kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I agree. Ryan Schmack.
Schmack.
In Your House, F4. Was a fair show. All the matches were okay. China makes her debut, replacing Mr. Hughes. Wonder who was stronger. The Final Four Battle Royal outcome, in my opinion, was so stupid. I wanted to contact the WWF. I was 8 years old at the time. Wow. Bret did not deserve to win the title. They did not deserve this. In my opinion, they should have had Vader win the title, then either drop it to Sid the next night or have Vader hold it until WrestleMania. Then you can at least say Vader had got to hold the title, even if it was a day or a month. HBK ruined Vader's chances in 96, and the WWF had the opportunity to right the wrong, and they dropped the ball big time. I wonder if the reason was to make Bret Hart happy, only to screw him again. Does anyone agree with me that Vader should have won the Final Four match? You know...
I think it could have helped.
Yeah, and I tell you, not that Sid and Taker, well, we'll talk about, not that the main event, which we'll discuss next week, was bad, but I don't know, JR, if you put a gimmick on that, I think that would have been a fun main event for WrestleMania.
Or you just have Vader play the role Bret played, you know, eventually as well. So either way, I mean, it might not have hurt to give him a little title, or at least to say he was champion. Dave Hall, our trivia aficionado, average undercard is saved by a great main event. Seems that all the focus is on the main event, that Vince forgot he needed a supporting cast. Merrill Leaf Cassidy's okay, but never reaches any heights. Six-man tag seemed a bit mishmash, and just an excuse to get the even larger Nation over. Hunter, Rocky, Go Lucky was okay, but the highlight was the debut of China. Tag title match solid, as one would expect, but again, the crowd just seems a little disinterested. However, all is saved by a phenomenal main event. All four put in a great effort, and this is exciting from beginning to end. Vader gets color the hard way and shows us what he's capable of. Undertaker, Austin, Hart all work hard to put on a great match. Bret gets the win, but the focus is quickly shifted as Big Sid pops out to the ring. I really wish they could have put this main event on a DVD collection. For the rest of the card, I'm not fussed. I'll never see it again.
Dan McGinn. This pay-per-view is a pretty random show for my first ever post. Welcome, Dan. But I'm a bit too late for my WrestleMania 6 Love Fest commentary, so Final Four wins this prestigious distinction. For all I remember from this show was how impressed I was with the main event. I agree with some who love Vader in this match, and just for that nasty chair shot alone, I think he should have been given the strap. Although I'm a huge Brett fan, currently on page 339 of his book as I type this, I could have easily seen any of these guys win and would have been satisfied with the outcome. I haven't seen this bout in a while, but will likely add this to my list for J.O. and placing another order for his collection. Yes. As for my WrestleMania 6 comment, Scott, I'll send you a cameraless tout to you at my earliest convenience. Thanks, guys. Love the show. DM. There's just a button. The camera just comes up on the screen, Dan. It's okay. Don't listen to these guys. I don't know what they're talking. They're just trying to make me look bad. Just
okay, everyone, please quiet down. We have the comments from King James Mander coming
the
at
King!
Us from the Pro Board's mobile application. Average opening match between Mark Merrill and Leaf Cassidy, but at least it was quick, so I am happy. Couldn't give a shit about the next two matches, to be honest. A terrible tag match with Bart Gunn is pinned after a leg drop to the back of the head. The IC title continues to be devalued as Rocky Maivia is blatantly nowhere as good enough or experienced to be carrying the belt. Good tag match between Bulldog and Owen first on the Fon, which unfortunately let down by a cheap ending. These two teams could have easily put on a tag team wrestling clinic if they were given 20 minutes or more. Final Four match is one of my favorite main events of all time. There's so much bullshit going on at this time, it's ridiculous. Sean was definitely avoiding dropping the belt to Brett at WrestleMania, and anybody who says otherwise is talking out of their ass. I've never heard of a career-threatening injury repair itself so quite so quickly. Was so happy to see Brett win the title when none of us had any idea how short-lived this reign would be. Sean's behavior at this time was fucking disgusting. I never liked him before, but now I despised him. Fair play to Brett, Stone Cold, Undertaker, Vader for being professionals and actually doing their jobs as opposed to that selfish prick who thought of nobody but himself, especially not King James Mander. Please bring me a lubed-up beer.
Yes. James Salerno. A Leaf Cassidy singles match and Bart Gunn, Goldust, and Flash Funk in a six-man. For some reason, this show was the very definition of filler.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I like 1997, the beginning of the year is kind of all over the place. Things don't get red hot till late spring. The Fatal 4-Way is an excellent match. I'm surprised it never ended up on a DVD compilation. I was just saying that.
Hmm.
It would have been a good fit for Greatest Stars of the 90s. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, maybe if they do another Brett set, they could throw this on there. Everything but the main event you can avoid. You know, I was thinking, you know, they should do a... Well, not that it's unreleased. Well, it is kind of unreleased. If they did like they did for Hogan, they did the unreleased collection. They should do an unreleased Brett collection. Why not?
Well, they can also do, you know, there's rumors that there may be an In Your House, Best of In Your House, so maybe it'll pop up on there.
Yeah, that was on the shop.com, WWEshop.com had a DVD survey mm-hmm. that I took, and that was there was a series of questions, and some of them pissed me off because the multiple choices actually more than one DVD I really would like to see was on a thing, and that was one of them, Best of In Your House. I think it's just put the In Your Houses on separate DVDs, but anyway.
Wade Ferrari, even though this undercard pretty much sucks, the main event is enough to make the show a thumbs up for me. Just a great match with four tough guys beating the crap out of each other for a half hour. I thought Vader in particular looked great here, as I think this match helped him regain a lot of his monster aura that he had lost after a sluggish second half of 1996. The crowd pops huge when Taker finally eliminates him near the end, which shows how well he was booked in the match. Bret Hart regains the title, but unfortunately his reign would be a short one, as the unexpected twists and turns on the road to WrestleMania continue.
Yes. Another trivia aficionado, Dennis Nunez. An awesome, awesome Fatal 4 match. All four guys beat the holy shit out of each other in a wild brawl with a pace that never lets up. Vader's cut over his eye is still pretty gory to watch. It helped him retain his monster heel persona and was a great, albeit dangerous, visual. I originally wanted Taker to win here at the time this aired and was quite peeved when Brett walked away with the gold. I agree with James. You should call him the King. In that this should have ended up
about,
in a...
James Salerno.
James Salerno? Well. In a couple, he might be a king in his own right, too. On a compilation of some kind.
King of Macedonia.
Good. Yes. And it's now kind of a forgotten classic.
The opposite of trivia aficionado, J. Arsenio D'Amato. Crickets were heard after Rocky's IC title match victory. China debuted, and JR asked, is that a woman?
Yeah, crickets were heard after the round of your tournament. Yes. Your round of the tournament, too.
Bazinga!
A rather dull undercard. Oh, this is, by the way, Ed Harris.
That's who I am.
A rather dull undercard, with the exception of the fun tag title match, is saved by an awesome main event. Great 24-minute match that sees four of the best just beating the holy hell out of each other. Brett and Vader beating on each other is great, as is the ongoing war between Brett and Austin. I especially dug the pre-match promo by Brett. May the best man win. Me. A nice taste of things to come with the man. Great stuff.
And now, back-to-back, we have the two losers of this recent trivia tournament matchup.
Yes.
Sean Zern. I thought this was actually a fun show. Merrill Cassidy was well-executed yet heatless match because no one cared about Cassidy. Merrill's getting more aggressive in the ring, and I think there's a rumor of a heel turn coming, but his knee injury delayed it. Six-man tag with The Nation versus Bart, Goldust, and Flash was also a fun little match. With Savio joining The Nation, they had a good worker, although I enjoyed him much more as a face. I think I liked this match so much because I was a big Flash Funk fan at the time. He had a weird character you knew wasn't going anywhere, but he could sure go in the ring. Random match, but fun. Rocky versus Helmsley seemed like a carbon copy of the Raw match on Thursday, except for the ending. These two would have a much better matches down the line, but Rock is still very green and Hunter still wasn't over. The ending saw the debut of China, who JR asked, "Is that a woman?" Hilarious. Furnace and Lafond versus Bulldog and Owen was a good match, but a little sloppy in parts, but a good match I was looking forward to. Furnace and Lafond had no heat, no character, so the crowd didn't care for them. Bulldog and Owen were awesome at this time. The storyline of Owen and Bulldog fighting it was picking up more steam as Bulldog finally gets mad. If it wasn't for later events, I think Bulldog would have been a good face during the time period as the crowd was getting behind him. Main event's awesome. They beat the shit out of each other for 25 minutes, and Vader wrestled most of the match with his eye busted hard away from the chair shot. Great, great brawl. I remember going to this match. I had no idea who was going to win, but I enjoyed Brett getting the victory. The ending with Sid coming down and the face-to-face left a good cliffhanger. Overall, when I first looked at the card, I wasn't excited for it besides the main event, but I was presently surprised at how it turned out. Wasn't great, definitely solid. Yes.
And finally, Austin Fiff.
Mr. Fiff.
This wasn't your daddy's Final Four, Daddy.
Unless you're Safazio's dad.
Yes, of course. First pay-per-view Ross and Lawler commentate together as a two-man
Fuck
team,
you,
I believe.
Safaio's daddy.
Yes, that is true. No, not that. That it was first two-man team match between these two. Random opening match with Merrill Cassidy, but a very good match. Sable looking good as always as she wears her sunglasses at night. We're not there yet. The six-man was solid. Maivia Hunter put on another solid match. The ending with Goldust distracting Hunter was a throwback to Piper distracting Rude at SummerSlam 89, but Hunter gets the last laugh with the Whoa Man attempting to choke out Marlena. Tag match was decent. Owen Bulldog break up on the horizon. Seeing them bicker is entertaining. Main event Final Four was great. Vader got busted open really bad, but kept going strong throughout. Nonstop action throughout. Brett is going to WrestleMania for now.
All right. Thank you, as always, for all of your feedback. Always great to read. And I hope you enjoyed that review of Final Four. Now, Scott, we have about six or seven announcements here. So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the trivia? Should we start with the other stuff and then get to the trivia?
Let's build the drama and we'll do the quarterfinal matchups last.
Okay. Let's start with the announcement that next week will only be one episode. I am going on vacation at the end of the week, so Wednesday night we'll be recording WrestleMania 13. Now we had hoped to have Kevin Kelly with us. He is in the process of buying a new house. He is swamped in paperwork, cannot join us next week. So instead, in his stead, we will have Kyle Forchetti, who was actually at WrestleMania 13, big member of the PTB Nation, will be joining us live next week to talk about being there. In the arena, he'll help us review the show. So that'll be cool to have Kyle on, get a little live perspective on quite a divisive show.
Yes, very historically. Much so. Yep.
Also wanted to mention that shows will no longer be posted the same night. It's just too much strain on me, honestly. The program takes a while to edit, and then Podbean is a bitch half the time, and you get through it takes 20 minutes to upload, and then half the time it crashes at the end, so it's just too much stress. So at this point, we're going to record the shows at night, and then the next evening when I get home from work, we'll get them posted. So I just don't want anyone sitting there, still waiting on our usual schedule, hoping that the show's going to be posted the night we record it. It's just, at this time, it's just not feasible for me to do. So here and there, we may surprise you and pop one up, but more than likely, it'll be the next day. Mm-hmm. Speaking of our schedule, Scott.
Yes.
We decided on a couple changes come the fall.
Yes.
We are going to...
I was going to do that, but go ahead.
Okay. I like doing the announcements. Well, you do the break, so I'll do the announcement.
Okay, go right ahead, please. Okay, I insist.
Go
You're
take
doing a
nap.
Good job.
All right. So
don't you take a nap. The carbon monoxide might kill you. Whatever chloroform is left in your man cave there.
All right. So come the fall, we are going to switch things around. The Vintage Vault will be recorded first during the week. We're going to move that to recording on Monday nights to keep us sane during Raw.
Yeah, actually, for those that are new to the PTB Nation, this is the schedule we used to do.
Yes,
we used to record on Monday, Wednesday, but then we got to the time where JR was going through, his wife was pregnant, and we had some different schedule changes, and we kind of wanted to watch Raw, and then we had the chat open up. So, but with Raw 3 hours, trust me, I don't think anybody's going to miss anything. So,
no. So we're gonna record the vault early in the week. So we're gonna try and start getting the feedback up. I'm gonna have to get it up late, like on a Friday now instead of a Sunday. But for the feedback thread and comments, and the reason we're moving the vault to early in the week is because we're gonna keep doing the throwback. It's not just gonna be summer throwback anymore. We're gonna keep it full time. But tagged down the end of the throwback show will be our NFL picks for each week. Now, we wanted to do that on Wednesday so we can get the Monday games and digest everything. But, Scott, one idea I did have, and I meant to run it by you today. I didn't get a chance, but I'm sure you'll agree, so I'm just going to say it right now on air. Every fourth week, the week of a pay-per-view, we're going to do headlines. So we'll recap the news from the month, and we will preview the pay-per-view.
Yep.
So,
no, that's cool. I like that idea. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
3 out of the 4 weeks each month will be a throwback old show, and then the fourth week will be a headlines with all 4 weeks having the NFL picks tagged on the end of those shows. So Vault on Monday, throwback 3 of the 4 weeks of the month, headlines the fourth week, and then each one of those will have the picks for our NFL weeklies on the end of it. So
yeah,
a lot going on. That'll start probably week one of NFL season. We'll make that change, if not beforehand. So
right. Yep.
All right. Two more things to discuss here. Actually, a few more things. First of all, I want to announce our next interview is scheduled. We hope for probably the third week in August. Once we have a definitive date slammed down, we will put up a thread for some questions, and we will be interviewing the one and only Bruno Lauer, otherwise known as Harvey Whippleman.
Yes.
Of course, Harvey plays quite the role in our podcast lore here, of course, because he once managed the great Giant Gonzalez. So we'll see if we get into that with good old Harvey at all. But Harvey will be joining us. He's a friend with one of our listeners, John Sturm. He set things up for us. So we hope to have things going in a couple weeks. We will be asking your questions for good old Dr. Harvey, who still works with the company backstage, does some promotional stuff and agent stuff. So a pretty big get for us, and we're very excited to talk to Harvey. Seems like a great guy. So
yes,
a lot to talk about there. Before we get to the trivia, I want to give a shout out to our buddy Michael McDonald. His dad, not in good health, had a lot of heart issues, was in and out of the hospital,
no.
And he's back in now. Michael gave us an update on his on the Place to Be live chats page, and let me just pull that up. His dad's not doing well. He suffered a pulmonary oedema, and a second heart attack. He was released Monday with his back in after collapsing. Today, no idea why. It's either because his heart's enlarged, it's failing, or he's had a third heart attack. So he's saying he will not be too active. And, of course, PTB Nation, yes, as always, coming to the support of our own. And that's what we love about you guys. You know, all the fun and games all kind of slow down when things like this happen and everyone rallies.
Yes.
So we saw it with Jay Womet. Now we're seeing it with Michael McDonald. So
definitely in your prayer. We'll definitely have him in our prayers.
Oh, Michael, without a doubt.
Definitely.
Yeah, one of our longest fans here. Great guy, Michael McDonald. A lot of fun. Always love talking to him. So, Michael, wish your family the best. We'll, of course, keep you in mind as we go through the weeks here on the P2P podcast. So please,
yes,
keep us updated as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
We'll split them in half. You announce two of them, and I'll announce two of them.
Okay.
Here are.
And now these are in order. The order you gave me, the order that they're going.
The order,
right?
The order that I gave you is the order that the brackets look like. Okay.
So now these were drawn. Let me just set the stage here. These were drawn at random, so no one can complain. And these brackets, as we've said, are staying. So these matchups are not changing, and the order of the bracketing is not changing. We will make things work. It may not happen immediately. It may take a few weeks to get these guys lined up. But this is the official final eight brackets. We've had, 14 men eliminated, 8 stand.
Yep.
So here we go. No, I lied. 16 men eliminated.
16 men eliminated.
Well, I don't count D'Amato and Flanagan, so 14 men.
But Josh Richer is two guys because,
yes,
of his guts and determination.
Yes.
All right. At the top of the list, quarterfinal number one.
Woof, I'm pumped.
Jay Hinchey versus Grant Owens.
Grant's got his work cut out for him there.
Yeah, Grant. You may have thought you had an upset in the first round, but Hinchy's a beast, so
mm-hmm,
be ready. I love this next one. Go ahead, JR. This one's for you. I love this one.
Can I do it Vince McMahon style?
You can, yes.
In our second matchup, we have the Picasso of Place to Be Nation, Jason Greenhouse, taking on Dennis Nunez. So there you go. That is our next second matchup there of the first round. Jason Greenhouse, Dennis Nunez.
Now we're saying it in order. Which,
yes,
so the winners of these two will face each other in the semifinals.
Yes, Hinchey, Owens, Greenhouse, Nunez. Two great matchups there. But now, Scott, please reveal the best, I think, the best first round matchup.
Yes. The best.
Best quarterfinal matchup, right?
Best quarterfinal matchup is Jeremy Nichols and Derek Cornett.
Woof!
That's a Final Four pay-per-view quality.
One of those guys is going home.
One of those guys' eyes is going to fall out of his Vader mask. It's going to be a brawl.
And, of course, that leaves the battle of the international flavor at the bottom. That is Dave Hall versus Kieran Pollan. Another great matchup as well. So
Lube War.
Yes.
The Lube Bowl is about to go down there.
So Hinchey Owens.
That's in order.
Yep. Hinchey Owens, Greenhouse Nunez, Nichols Cornett, Hall Pollan.
Yes. Now, those are staying. Like we said, so we're gonna work as best as we can with you guys. We are not switching, and that is the order.
We need you to work with us as well. We got to make things happen. So
yeah. So
all right. So there you go. There's your quarterfinals of your trivia. There are all your updates. Harvey Whippleman, headlines to Monday, NFL picks, all of it's in there, and of course our prayers out to Michael McDonald. So Scott, It was a good show. It was a fun show. My battery's down to about, I'd say, about less than a quarter. So I think we hustled well enough to get through this. So
yes.
We're going to wrap things up for this week. We hope you enjoyed Thursday Raw Thursday and In Your House Final Four. Next week, one show, WrestleMania 13, Kyle Forchetti joining us. And then after that, we'll be back with a throwback. I'm thinking we may be doing Big Event before Revenge of the Taker, so we'll let you know on that. But for my PIC, Scotty C, I am Justin Rosero. Have a great weekend, PTB Nation. We'll talk to you next week from Chicago.
Peace.
Hey, guys. Oh, big golf, huh? All right. Well, see you later. Including